All right, welcome. You're locked in for a deep dive, and this one goes out specifically to you. It's tailored to, well, what you're into, what you picked, and we're going to be looking at a pretty wild future.
Yeah, it's pretty out there.
Humanity basically going from, life on a pretty messed up Earth to basically becoming like a full-blown intergalactic civilization.
And it's all thanks to these aliens, the Z.
Right, exactly, the Z. And we've got a ton of material to go through, by the way. We've got outlines for 2 seasons worth of this series called Majorca.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, we've got a pretty thorough overview of, how this whole future thing plays out.
So this is like a glimpse into a possible future then.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Possible future, yeah. And we've even got character analyses, deep dives into the tech they use, how their society is structured. We've even got some breakdowns of like key scenes and stuff.
Oh, wow, that's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, and the goal here isn't just to like, rehash all this stuff. We want to like really dig in, understand the forces at play, the people driving this whole thing,
It's like, what makes this future tick?
Exactly. And think about the huge changes, not just for society as a whole, but for like individuals,
Yeah. How would people even handle a shift that big? It's mind-boggling.
Right. Right. So, I mean, the premise, the starting point for all this is pretty wild.
Yeah.
Earth's basically dying, right?
Yeah, about 2030. Things get really bad.
Like survival's on the line, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And that's when the Zins show up.
They're these advanced humanoids, been around for like a million years.
A million years. Jeez.
From the Andromeda Galaxy.
Yeah.
And their whole deal is light and love. They want to help, They see we're in trouble and they offer us a way out.
A lifeline, basically.
Exactly. They say, hey, leave Earth, let it heal. And in return, you get access to all this advanced tech and new planets to live on.
New worlds to colonize? It's a huge deal. I mean, imagine that, right? You're on a dying planet and then, boom, these super advanced aliens show up and offer you a whole new start.
It's like a reset button for humanity, almost. A second chance.
A second chance, yeah. But it's not a simple choice, is it? I mean, leaving Earth behind, that's a big ask.
Definitely. It's not just moving to a new neighborhood. This is abandoning your home planet. It makes you think, like, how bad did things have to get for humanity to accept this deal?
Right. What's the breaking point? When does a planet become so messed up that even leaving it behind feels like the best option?
That's a heavy question. And the Z, with their whole light and love thing and the way they talk about intervening when necessary, it suggests they don't just jump in all the time.
Yeah, they've seen a lot, right?
Yeah.
A million years is a long time. They must have some serious criteria for stepping in like this.
For sure. It makes you think, was it just the environmental stuff? Or was there something else going on, something we're not fully seeing?
Right. Maybe they saw a bigger threat, something that forced their hand, And the fact that they're willing to share their tech, that's a whole other layer to this.
Totally. It's like, are they just trying to help or do they have their own agenda?
Yeah. Are they genuinely altruistic or is there something more strategic at play? Maybe they see humanity as a potential ally or maybe they need us for something. Who knows?
And at the heart of this whole thing is John Henry Foster.
Elgato. Yeah, the guy's a walking paradox, born in 1901, but still kicking it, literally. He's the bridge between Earth and the Zai.
He's actually a hybrid, part human, part Nordic ET. It's wild.
Yeah, and he's got this whole backstory with Edwin Telemere, another Nordic ET who was disguised as a psychic. Like, what was up with that?
It seems like Telemere was his mentor, preparing him for this whole thing. Maybe even shaping events behind the scenes.
Right. It's like a cosmic puppet master situation.
And Foster's got ESP,
yeah.
Enhanced longevity, like he was literally built for this moment.
It's like he was destined to lead humanity through this, His dual nature, the human and the extraterrestrial, it's almost poetic.
It makes you wonder if the Z chose humanity specifically because of him.
That's a good point. Maybe they saw Foster as the key, the one person who could bridge the gap between our two species.
Yeah, maybe they couldn't have made contact without someone like him.
And then there's the whole migration, the Great Migration. It starts around 2030, lasts about 5 years.
Millions of people leaving Earth, first to Planet 2, and then spreading out to thousands of other worlds.
Thousands. That's insane.
It's like, imagine the logistics of that. The ships, the resources, the coordination.
I mean, they must have had some seriously advanced transportation tech to pull that off.
For sure. And think about the cultural upheaval, the anxieties, the hopes. It must have been overwhelming for everyone involved.
Yeah, leaving everything behind, stepping into the unknown. Talk about a leap of faith. But even before all that, before the migration even started, there was the first contact.
Back in 1925.
Yeah, way back then. That's when young Foster meets Telomere, and a Z delegation makes contact with a small group of humans.
They chose 50 scientists, including Foster and his former wife, Anna.
And they took them to Dedisa, the Z homeworld.
Yeah, and they gave them these DNA upgrades.
That's pretty interesting. Why only 50 people, and why scientists?
It seems like they were looking for specific traits, maybe people who could adapt to their tech, or maybe they were trying to nudge human evolution in a certain direction.
Like a long game, you know, planting seeds for the future.
Exactly. But it's not all smooth sailing. Anna, she had a really bad reaction to the upgrade.
Yeah, traumatic experience.
It's like, even though the Z had good intentions, it shows that messing with someone's DNA, even if it's supposed to be helpful, can have some serious unintended consequences.
Right. It raises all sorts of ethical questions. And it shows that even with something as potentially beneficial as a DNA upgrade, there can be resistance, fear, and even trauma.
It's a reminder that not everyone reacts to change the same way. And Anna's reaction, it kind of foreshadows the whole holdout movement.
The people who refuse to leave Earth.
Yeah, they didn't trust the Zine, didn't want to abandon their home.
And Foster's sister, Shannon, she becomes a leader of the holdouts.
Her story is really powerful. She had some traumatic experiences with ETs before alleged abductions.
So for her, it's not just about saving Earth. It's personal.
It's like, can you blame her for being skeptical? I mean, imagine going through something like that and then being asked to trust another group of ETs.
Right. It's a conflict between survival and, a sense of belonging, of home.
A fundamental clash of values. And it raises the question, what's more important? Preserving your home planet or ensuring the survival of your species?
It's a tough question. And as the migrants start settling on these new worlds, the first stop is Arrival Colony 1 on Planet 2.
They called it the Ellis Island of Space.
A processing center for all these new arrivals.
From there, they'd be sent out to their assigned colony worlds.
It must have been chaotic, but also kind of exciting. A whole new start for humanity.
It's like, imagine the mix of cultures, languages, all these people from different parts of Earth coming together on this new planet.
Yeah, a real melting pot of humanity. But even in this new world, old patterns start to emerge.
Power struggles, ambition.
Michael Stetson. He was part of the Collectors Program working with Foster. Their job was to preserve Earth's heritage, all the knowledge and culture.
A vital task for sure.
But Stetson, he had bigger ambitions. He becomes a rival to Foster and eventually rises to the position of Prime.
Prime, that's like the leader of the colonies, right?
Yeah, basically. And it seems like there was growing anti-Foster sentiment in the colonies after the migration.
What happened there? Why the shift against Foster?
It's hard to say for sure. Maybe some people felt he was too close to the Zai. Maybe they resented his leadership. Or maybe Stetson was just a better politician.
It's interesting how even with this fresh start, this new society, human nature still plays a role.
Power dynamics, political maneuvering, it all seems to be part of the human experience no matter where we go.
And while all this is happening in the colonies, back on Earth, the holdouts are getting organized.
Jackson, a former scientist, becomes a key figure in the resistance.
So they're not just hiding out, they're actively fighting back.
And he's got the scientific know-how to make things interesting.
It's like you've got this conflict brewing between Foster, representing the new intergalactic humanity, and Jackson, leading the Earthbound resistance.
A divided humanity. Oh. And at the center of it all is the technology. The Z gave humanity some seriously advanced stuff.
Like the replicators. They can create almost anything you need. Food, clothing, tools.
It's like the ultimate 3D printer, but it's not like everyone has unlimited access.
Right, there's a tiered system. Public access for basic necessities, guild access for specialized tools and materials, and then research access for, well, research.
So it's not just about free stuff for everyone.
It's more nuanced than that. It's about balancing individual needs with the needs of society, and also encouraging innovation.
The creative rights system is interesting. It protects the original designs for anything made with the replicators.
So people are still rewarded for their creativity, even in a world where material goods are easily replicated.
It's a clever way to ensure that innovation continues. And then there's the crystal tech. It's even more wild than the replicators.
Personal crystals that act as a thought interface, memory storage, augmented reality, communication, even access to knowledge databases. It's like having the internet in your brain.
It's crazy. And then there's transport crystals for instantaneous travel.
No more traffic jams.
Imagine that. Just pop a crystal and you're there. It would completely change how we live and interact with the world.
Cities would be different. Relationships would be different. Everything would be different.
And then there's the DNA tech. Regen, the process for age regression and health optimization.
Imagine being able to reverse aging and cure diseases.
It's like the fountain of youth. But there are also these enhancement variations, like ESP development.
That's where things get tricky. What happens when some people have access to these enhancements and others don't?
It could create new forms of inequality, new social divisions.
And imagine the implications for privacy and personal autonomy. If someone can read your thoughts, where does that leave you?
It's a double-edged sword. These technologies offer incredible possibilities, but they also come with potential risks and ethical dilemmas.
It's like playing with fire. You have to be careful because the consequences could be huge.
And it's not like everyone is on board with this whole Zytec thing.
There are these underground networks using dark replication, making stuff outside the official system.
And the holdouts, they're modifying the old tech, trying to find ways to survive without the Zy.
It's like a technological arms race, but with a twist.
It shows that even with all these advanced technologies, there will always be those who resist, who want to do things their own way.
It's the human spirit, right? That desire for independence, for control over your own destiny.
So let's dive into what life is actually like on these new colonies. Colony Imhotep on planet Mayorga is a good example.
It's got this central area called the Valley of the Sun.
With replicated Earth landmarks like the Eiffel Tower and the Statue of Liberty.
It's like a little piece of home on this alien planet.
And then surrounding the valley are these residential zones, production areas where the guilds operate, even boutique farms.
It's a mix of the familiar and the new.
And they've got dedicated areas for education and research. They're not just focused on survival, they're investing in the future.
They're building a new society, a new civilization.
And the way they govern these colonies is pretty interesting.
They've got local councils, Zy oversight, guild representation, and citizen assemblies.
It's a multi-layered system, a blend of human and Zy influence.
It's like they're trying to find a balance between autonomy and guidance.
And the economy is based on reputation.
It's not just about money or material wealth.
It's about your skills, your contributions to the community, your innovation.
It's like a meritocracy, but with a social twist.
And it coexists with the replication system for basic goods and a more traditional system for non-replicated items.
It's a complex system, but it seems to work.
But there is a darker side to all of this, the Densha. They're this mysterious threat, the reason why humanity had to leave Earth in the first place.
We don't know much about them, but they're out there.
And they're dangerous.
It's like a looming shadow over everything.
It adds this element of suspense, of uncertainty.
It's like, even though humanity has escaped Earth, they're not truly safe.
And then there's Shannon's death. It's a pivotal moment in the story.
She dies under mysterious circumstances, and her final message reveals some shocking truths.
Truths that could shake the colonies to their core.
And it hits Foster hard. It's a personal loss, but it also has huge implications for the future.
And Anna, she's been doing some groundbreaking work with Zy technology.
Making incredible discoveries, but also uncovering hidden dangers.
It shows that this technology is not a magic bullet.
It's powerful, but it's also complex, and there are unintended consequences.
It's like Pandora's box. Once you open it, you can't close it.
And we don't know what else is lurking inside.
So we've got forced migration, a hybrid human-alien ambassador, revolutionary technology, complex societies, and a lurking threat.
It's a lot to take in.
This deep dive into Mayorga is like looking into a kaleidoscope. There are so many different facets, so many possibilities.
It's both hopeful and terrifying at the same time.
It makes you think about what it really means to be human, about the choices we make and the consequences we face.
It's a powerful story, even if it's just a possible future.
So you, the listener, having gone through all this with us, what stands out to you? What resonates the most? Is it the tech, the societies, the characters?
What sparks your curiosity or maybe even your fear?
What does your focus reveal about your own views on the future, on progress, on humanity?
It's a lot to ponder.
And that's the point of this deep dive, to make you think, to make you question, to make you wonder. Thanks for joining us.